I believe that being a call to ministry is the highest honor you can have on this planet. And to not see it as such and honor it, you know, it's a problem. We got an echo. Can you back it off a little bit? Because on the tape, it'll be ugly.
Come on.
I've been doing ministry, like Penny says, a long time. My husband had 43 surgeries before he went to be with the Lord. When he said he wanted to go to Lakewood Bible Institute, I had three adopted children. I had a job where I worked like a man every day. I drove 70 something miles back and forth to work. I had a little business. He forced me to buy a little laundromat, wash your tear, dry cleaners. I had enough trouble to last for a million years. And he said he wanted to go to Bible school. And I was trying to figure out how I could do it. And so I took a shift work job so that I could shift my days around and take him to school. And I met Penny there, and I thought she was probably one of the most beautiful women I'd ever met. And this is back in 1983, and I still think that she's a beautiful lady. And the thing about her was, back in those days, Pastor John Osteen was in good health, and he was teaching, and we were taught by some really awesome people. And it was a challenge for me because I'd be there after working 12 hours all night. I would have driven, and my husband had problems, issues with his health. So I'd have to drag him in his wheelchair to the bathroom 3 or 4 times. And it was just a lot of stuff. But I realized that I was being given an opportunity to prepare myself for what I did not know. I didn't have no knowledge. It was just like, this is a lot, but I can't stop. You know, I can't complain. I just have to keep going. Well, then about 12 years later, I got a word from God to quit my job. And I quit Exxon, in 1995. And Pastor Osteen, I quit Exxon in June the 30th of 1995. I went and asked him, I said, Pastor, I said, it seems like the Lord telling me to quit my job. Well, I'm making really good money, and I needed a job. I mean, I had all kind of debt, and I love God, and I love doing little ministry things, but quit my job. I mean, what am I going to do if I quit my job? And the Lord said, quit the job, and I thought, all right. And I went and told Pastor John, and I thought he was going to say, well, now, Ralphine, let's pray. He didn't even look at me. He was looking out a window, talking to me from looking out the window. And I'm sitting there, we're waiting for him to turn around and lay hands on me or pour oil or something, you know. And he said, well, what's taking you so long? It's about time. And I don't think I liked him that moment because I felt like, well, where is the greatness you're going to do for me? Aren't you going to touch me and anoint me and lift me or do something, you know? And he said, what's taking you so long? And I didn't know what to say. So he said, well, that's very good. And he walked over to the door and opened the door as if, in other words, get out of my office. And, that Thursday night, he called me, about a month and a half later. I'm sorry. I'm having difficulty with this. He said, I've been invited to India. He said, I've been invited to India. And I thought, well, you didn't say nothing to me when I was talking to Dwight. Why are you talking? You know how you have of your mind is going. You're not saying it. What you thinking it? You know what you. And then he said, and I'm not going. So I'm thinking, what are you calling me? You're telling me that for? And he said, you're supposed to go in my place. And, in that stage of my life, I didn't know anything about India. I mean, I'd been to Mexico. That's it. Oh, I'd been to Nicaragua. God had taken me to Nicaragua, but I hadn't really done a lot of travel. And I thought, India? I thought, well, what would India, what would I do there? He said, don't you preach, teach? Don't you pray, sing? I said, yes. He said, well, go do it. And I thought, oh, this ain't good. And then he said, after he kept talking, he talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And I'm saying this for somebody because I don't know how this fits in what I'm doing. But somebody in here needs to hear this. He said, do you understand the opportunity that I'm making available to you? And I said, yes. He said, you're interested in going, right? And I said, yes. He said, good. You're going to pay your own way. And we, at that stage at Lakewood, we'd sit through a service where they'd roll the money that they gave to countries and people for 30 minutes. They just roll names and countries and names and amounts of money and names just on a screen and just roll it like this. And the people would shout 3 or 4 or 5 times during the time it was rolling because it just seemed like unbelievable money, you know? And I thought, and you can't buy me a ticket? I mean, what? And it was rolling and rolling. And I was thinking in my head, this doesn't make sense. And so he said, are you trying to understand why I'm not going to pay your way? And I was smart enough to say, yes, Pastor, I would like to understand that a little better. And he said, if I make the sacrifice and I make the plan and I go without to do what it takes to buy a ticket and to be able to travel and to eat and be a blessing, that seed sown into that nation, harvest will come to me. But if you make the sacrifice and you sow the seed and you make the plans and you make a deposit into the nation, the harvest on that seed will come to you. I went to India and I left India and came to Paris. He said, come back through Paris and preach for these people. He gave me some people. The people called me and asked me to come. So I ministered in India for 2 weeks and then I came through Paris and we did ministry there with some people. And it was like a opening, a vista. It's like a wall that had been in my life completely disappeared. I saw the world differently. I saw the power of God appreciated on another level. I was ashamed of what we do here. I really was. I was saddened to know how little we want to give God and then we want to take credit for having so much. It caused my heart to be opened in a way that I have never been able to close it. I am committed to God. I cannot be bought. I'm not a hireling. I'm committed to using everything he gives me. I'm a tither to 80%. My granddaughter and this woman here know there have been times when 100%. I have given away my light money. I've had my lights turned off. I've had my, am I telling the truth? Yeah. But I know that God is not a man that he would lie. And if I trust him, he would show himself faithful. And he has done that for me. Mm-hmm. I want 1 hour. Can I have 1 hour? Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff. I'm hoping that this is all taped because it's not going to be possible for you to take all this information down. But I do want you to have it so that you can follow through and listen again. For years, I teach a class called Passion for Excellence in Ministry and Leadership because I feel like that's what we must have is excellence. Mm-hmm. Last Saturday, I had an event out in Anahuac on the water, and I served breakfast and lunch. We had fabulous breakfast, and we had ribeye steaks for lunch, and we served, 38 people, 39 people, and all these people are going to help me do the shout. The pre-taping Penny talked about for the shout, we're going to pre-tape it and broadcast it on the 31st, but we're pre-taping it on the 28th. You need to come and be with us so that when the boom cameras show the crowd from up in the air and across the room, the world will see your face on the 31st. You can be wherever you're supposed to be on the 31st, but on the 28th, we're going to create something that's going to be broadcast globally. On the 31st. So come be with us. I think it'll be a wonderful evening. I used to let people call me, and Penny said people call me and talk and talk and talk, and they still do. I don't have a problem helping people. But the Lord said to me after I had this defibrillator put in my chest, he said, help those that would be helped and teach those that would be taught. And so now I got to start drawing the line on a clown I know ain't going to change. You've been being told the same thing to do, same scriptures to read, same way to live, same things to say. You've been told this thing 10 years and you still want somebody to listen to your long dissertation of trouble you've been having since you were born, raped at the age of 6. Come on. I mean, we just never want to let it go because it gets us some attention. It gets us some pity and it qualifies us to do as little as possible. It justifies our failure to live up to our potential. See, the reason I can't do it and the reason I didn't get it and the reason it didn't go, cause see, so and so happened to me. Stuff happens to everybody. And the people in the world who find themselves in positions of authority and power have taken the same hours that we had and did something different with them. So it's possible for us to be more effective and efficient in the world. So I started saying, you know, when people called, same woman, same woman, same woman. I had a woman call me years and years ago. She called every day, every day, every day, every day. Oh, Ms. Ralphie, this has been so horrible. It's terrible. My husband left me in 1985 with these 5 children. He left in 1985. Now, this is in the 90s now. She's still talking about 1985. He left her with 5 children. How terrible, terrible. And woman got on my nerves so bad and me called so much. I bought the caller ID. I didn't even have no interest in it. And I went and bought a caller ID so I could see if that was her. And finally, I was ashamed of my attitude and I talked to prayed about it. I said, Lord, I said, I don't know what else to tell her. I tell her the same thing every day. She called me with the same story. Nothing about her story or complaint. Her situation is different. So what is the deal? What do I tell her? He said, tell her, be glad her husband jumped up and left in 1985 because he was going to kill her in 1986 if he had stayed. I told her that one time, she ain't called me no more. She is not called again. Because most of us would like to think what we went through and how hard it was and how bad it was as bad as it was planned.
That's good.
The enemy had some most severe plan. My husband had 43 surgeries. They cut off his legs and they cut both legs off. But when he lost one leg, he was so depressed. He played football for the Bears. He thought his body was some kind of structure of Adonisism. He was just the greatest. And then they cut his leg off and he's just crying and whining day and night, day and night, night, day and night. And I finally said, Daddy, what's the problem? I said, do you realize the devil came to get your life and all he could get was a leg? You need to be laughing in his face.
Yes.
And so most of us have survived things we don't even understand. We haven't appreciated the fact that we came through hell. That means the door opened and you went in and the door opened and you came out. So our attitude has got to be, we refuse to be denied victory. And nobody's going to proclaim it for us but us. So I started thinking differently about how to let people use up my energy. People say, you had 2 blood clots. People die when they have blood clots. You had 2 different ones. And you didn't die either time. So it must be strange. You like a miracle. Well, I felt like if God let me stay, he let me stay for a purpose. He let me stay so that I could get something done. So I decided that I would obey him. Or help those that would be helped. People that really want help, I'm with you. But you just a clown, want to suck on me and give me a long story on a subject. I don't want to hear it no more. And I started saying things like that. And people would look at me like, did she say clown? Did she say suck on her? I thought if I can tick you off, maybe you ain't the one. Because the truth is we are too sensitive and too easily offended. What did Jesus say to the woman? We don't give the crumbs to the dogs. She could have got her feelings left and left. But she didn't get her feelings left. She came to get something. And that's got to be our attitude. It's got to be our attitude.
Yes.
2011, the Lord said to me, pray that the eyes of the understanding be enlightened. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. When I think about how important we are, you're looking in the mirror and you're letting the mirror tell you that you are a culmination of every messed up deal and your mama's nose and your daddy's bottom lip, and that's the most you can be. And so you got to do something to it so that you can be viewed as something. Well, we're about to come into an hour in time when the necessity for you to be exactly like you are will be almost the key that opens the door to the pathway of opportunity that God is making available to you. This scripture was, this scripture caused me to think of the word differently. Most of us, we got so many people that, that read the Bible and they come up with a definition or an understanding or a revelation. And as a result of that, they proclaim it to be the only thing the Bible meant. And anybody here who's ever had problems in life 10 years ago and read a scripture and you read it two months ago, it had a different meaning. And so, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, it says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom. I said to my granddaughter just the other day, I said to her, if you could have anything on this planet that you have a desire for, you could just have anything, any one thing, you could have it. If you say what it is, you got it. So nothing can be denied you. You get one request. I said, what's the thing you need the most? Now, we talking about what you're going to have is what you want the most. But what do you need the most? You need some wisdom so that the choice you make works good for you. Most of us don't have wisdom. And the Bible says if a man lack wisdom, let him ask. So here this thing says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to talk about the seriousness of it. I'm very serious about songs that don't say Jesus. Song that don't put his name in it nowhere. Because we live in an age where there's so many gods that ain't even funny. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Revelation in the knowledge of him. It says the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Several translations say being opened, being adjusted, being focused, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the works of his mighty power. This whole, the rest of this whole picture is excellent scripture. You need to read this and get, ask God to give you some revelation. Because when I read this thing, after the Lord told me to pray that the eyes of the understanding be opened and enlightened, the Lord says, because the too much of the things that happen to people who say they believe is because they can't see, which means the eyes of their understanding is blind. We can't see. We don't know nothing's coming. We don't recognize the hour and time. We're not watching. We're not listening. So our eyes have failed us. And so the Bible says to enlighten, to open to the light, to be available. And see, the world now has taken words that belong to the thinking of the principles of God and turned them so that now they reflect and respond to darkness. They got movies called enlightened. Well, they're not being talking about enlightened to light. They're talking about being enlightened to darkness.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm.
our job is to line up now. We love feeling wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. And then we go home to a rat infested, hateful mate, bad kids, no money, pain, sickness, trouble. Hello! God don't want that now. No. The Bible says the whole earth is yearning, waiting for manifestations of the sons of God. Yes. Our job is to start to manifest. Yes. We're supposed to look like the God we serve is real. Amen. We're supposed to feel like if we say something, he gonna do it because we said it. The eyes of our understanding. Lord, open my eyes. Let me see and understand. I talk to people who want to be, I want the healing ministry. I want the so-and-so ministry. I want this ministry. I said, but you know what? The one ministry gift you need desperately is discernment. So you recognize what spirit is bringing you all these wants you have. So our thinking, we got to take our thinking to another level. We got to see ourselves. The truth is the only hope this world has got is the blood-bought saints of Jesus Christ. They don't have no other hope. Now, I know they got 5 million ideas. They got every kind of thing. When I think about how we run into the store every day up to get us a Starbucks, and it's got Lilith on the cup. 99% of the Christians don't even know who Lilith is. We the dumbest people on planet Earth. And it ain't funny. Ignorance is not bliss. We don't have a clue. Come on. We've been allowing things to happen right in our face, and we have never questioned it, never challenged it, never rebuked it. The Bible says in Matthew 16, the keys of the kingdom of God is binding and loosing. We don't bind nothing. We don't loose nothing. Monday and Tuesday this week, I couldn't hardly talk. I couldn't hardly talk. Breath. And I thought, this is because of what we're going to do Saturday. Sucker, you can forget it. I'm going to be there on Saturday, and I'm going to give what God gives me. And there's nothing you can do about it. And you ain't killing me, because I'm going to live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. And that's got to be our attitude. I've been praying with Penny over and over. I tell her, I said, Penny, we're going to make it. We gonna make it. Would you come this far to quit?
That's right.
We done come this far. He didn't come this far to leave us. He made a promise to us. And all the stuff we've been through, we needed it. Because without the trouble, you wouldn't develop any understanding of who you are and who he is. Oh, you want everything to be perfect. Perfect stuff don't build nothing. I tell my granddaughter, I've been telling her since she was a little child, people in her face. Oh, she's so cute. I ain't never told you was cute. Have her? Never. I ain't never told her that. Because I don't want her to think that that's important. You need more skills than that. You need sensibilities. You need to be able to direct yourself. You need direction. You need to know which way you're going. You need to be able to hear. You need to be able to see. You need a personality. You need a kind voice. You need a forgiving heart. You need to have sure steps. You need to have strong hands. You need to have a straight back. You need to be somebody that's got something that God can use. Folks are running around getting their face and their lips done, and on the inside they messed up. All these beauty queens, they're the finest women in the world. They can't keep a man. Hello? Why? Because they haven't worked on the stuff that makes the difference. I'm 6'2". I've been this high since I was 12 years old. I ain't never been cute. I ain't never been, really. Really, but the truth of the matter is, my mother said to me, my father beat my mother to death when I was a teenager. And she said, Ralphina, you're not the prettiest girl in the world. You're not the smartest girl in the world. You're not going to be the richest girl in the world. Now, I'd heard people laugh at me and make fun of me all my life, so I thought, well, what's the deal with my mama? I thought she was on my side. I mean, come on. But she said, Ralphina, if you will have people happy to see you come, she said, if you will develop a personality that'll make people happy to see you come and sad to see you go, it will open doors for you, your looks, your brains, and your money never would. And since John Osteen sent me to India, I've been to 26 nations at their request. Are y'all hearing me talk? There's a world out there that needs help and hope. And the only help and hope that's real is in you. The devil has tried everything he knows to try and compete with the blood of Jesus. So he got people tattooing themselves so that the deacons can come and suck that little blood. So you got a picture of Jesus, or you got a picture of your mama, or a rose, or a cross, and you think that's something. You made an offering to Satan's altar to bring glory to his holy name, because it can't bring glory to God. It can't go to his altar. I think it must be adjusted. I want some wrenches. You know, I used to think, you know, I used to work for Exxon, so I used to work on instruments, and we'd had little bitty Phillips Allen wrenches and little screwdrivers, little tiny screwdriver, you know, the kind that put your screw back in your glasses, you know. Shoot, I went to work for them people. Them people had me a screw that was this big, and it was stuck it in a thing in the wall, and you had to crank and crank and crank, and that thing 40 feet long, got a wedge on it this big, and it's turning something. I said, Lord, use your screw. Make the instruments you're working on me look like that. Whatever it takes to break me down so that when you call my name, I'll be prepared to move forward in the anointing you made available to me. The eyes of our understanding. Discernment, wisdom. We need wisdom. Everybody say, Lord,
Lord,
give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
Say, Lord,
Lord,
give me wisdom.
Give me wisdom.
Lord,
Lord,
I receive wisdom.
I receive wisdom.
Father, I thank you.
Father, I thank
that
you.
My eyes have been enlightened
and opened
by your wisdom.
By your wisdom.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Am I making sense to you guys?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Sometimes I think that I put this in here. I write things sometimes, but I read this and I tore it out of a page and I put it in the Bible, and I've been burned to the ground. I've been flooded. I've had every kind of dilemma, catastrophe, but I found this page that I tore out of a old Reader's Digest book I had in a box. And I opened this Reader's Digest. So the Reader's Digest was back in the 70s, because I moved to Houston in 1977. And I tore pages out of stuff and wrapped silverware and stuff. And so I opened up this package page and found this thing. And it says, for all we ought to have thought and have not thought, for all we ought to have said and have not said, for all we ought to have done and have not done, I ask thee, O God, to forgive me. This is a Muslim man's prayer. Did you hear me? This was a Muslim man's prayer. Our job is to understand that we got through a bloodline to a place where we would endure hardness, make decisions that separated us from peace and joy, to the point that we would cry out for help and allow an infusion of the love of God to come into our lives. And that love would change us for eternity, that we would never forget how it felt, what it did for us. And then we would have a desire to see others with that same experience. God needs you to care about the condition of the world and understand that the condition of the world is really the condition of the people of the world. They are in terrible condition. They have every kind of contaminant in their souls. They have been indoctrinated to believe lies that are unbearable. And as a result, because we have been still, silent, and dignified, we have allowed them to encroach upon territories that should never have been given up. Do you know in 1923, Alice Bailey said, we're going to take prayer and God out of the schools. She said it in 1922. 1922. How many thousands of days before it happened in the 60s could somebody of Christendom stand up and say, prayer and God will never be taken out of our schools? But we didn't say nothing. We didn't say nothing. And the Bible says we can have what we say. The Bible says when we speak according to, when we say according to God's will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the petition. Isn't that what it says? In 1922, she said, cause dissension between parents and children. Break down their communication. Cause disrespect of parents to rise up in the heart of young people. She said it in 1922. In 1922. She said, let's cause homosexuality to be a lifestyle. She said it in 1922. This past July, I did a commencement for a school. I'm on several boards, and one of the boards I was on has a school for adults that teaches marketable employment skills. If you are in need of employment and you need computer skills, accounting skills, medical attendance skills, billing and coding, those kinds of things, this school is perfect for you. And they put you through a program, and as you go through this program and pass all the tests, they give you a commencement and a certificate. And you can use that as credibility when you go to apply for a job. I was the commencement speaker, and after the commencement, they had a auditorium full of family and friends and kids and folks there, you know, and all the graduates. They're people who made bad choices early, found themselves in trouble. They've been to jail. Some of them just got a whole bunch of kids. Some of them just been bad actors, finally getting off drugs, whatever the deal is. But there they are, they're capping their gown, they're feeling great. And so here we are thinking to ourselves how important it is to make available to them an opportunity and to see themselves from another perspective. After the commencement was over, I was invited to a little reception they had in another room, and I'm standing there talking, and this coach came up to me, and this coach and this principal, that's it, Saint, that's it, I see you trying. Move over just a little bit or something in the hole. Get in one of these holes, amen, that's it. That's it, you move over a little bit, ma'am, just a little bit. Just move over just a little bit. There you go. Yeah. You have to move more in your neck, or you have to move your hips. There you go, girl. The coach said to me, are y'all ready for this? Miss Ralphina, we're not going to have any cheerleaders this year. Now, this was last year for our football season, last year's football season. So I said to the coach, in my head, I was thinking, well, he's really trying to get me to help him raise money, take an offering, give him opportunities for somebody I know to help buy uniforms for the cheerleaders. That's what I thought. But I was smart enough not to say nothing. And so finally he said, I said, well, sir, why is that? He said, because we don't have any girls in our school. This is Houston, Texas school. We don't have any girls in our school that want to be feminine. All the girls in our school want to be lesbians. I didn't even have anything to say. I couldn't think of anything to say. I couldn't figure out what to say. I was devastated. So finally, I said to him, I said, you don't have any little freshman girls, little 14-year-olds? And he said, no. He said, I don't. Are y'all hearing me? We've been rushing up in our little buildings and making our stuff look pretty, and right across the street is somebody that's life is being turned inside out. Right down the street from the house we're living in is some little boy that's being molested and finagled and hello. Our children, our grandchildren are sitting inside a classroom next to a child whose parents deal drugs, do drugs, and molest them. Your child sitting right there, shoulder to shoulder. Mm-hmm. And you thinking watching Channel 14 is all you have to do. Our job is to become more mature. Mm-hmm. Our job is to wake up and become strong. Mm-hmm. We have to know what to say, know what to do. Mm-hmm. We have to be not intimidatable.
Yes.
When you come outside this door, right up over your head, the witches have swept in the sky. On the way here this morning, they'll go through a beautiful puff of clouds. And the next thing you know, the clouds look like somebody went through it with a broom or paintbrush. That's the witches sweeping. They take authority and seriously the assignments they got in the earth. And there's one in your church. Did you hear me? Okay. There may be more. Anytime you're trying to do something to set people free and cause people to understand who they are and to get empowerment and feel the presence of God, they'll be anywhere where you need help. They'll be the greatest secretary, the most marvelous sound man, the most wonderful daycare man. And I'm not calling out these places. I'm just saying these are the ways they get in. They have skills and they are committed. They're faithful. They'll weave their way right in. So you need to have a discerning heart. You ain't got to do nothing. You just got to pray and bind the powers they draw on, and it'll dry up around them, and they'll either get saved or get out. We ain't got to do no fighting. You don't have to do no warring. You ain't got to point no finger. You just start to pray. You take the authority you have been given in the name of Jesus. Our job is to not be intimidatable, because the things that are about to be released in the earth are intimidating. I love the Lord, but he's waiting on us to look like he didn't lie. We can't stay in our condition. We have to rise up and become smarter. You need to know something. I mean, come on. All right, now, just show you how we don't know. How many pay a house note of mortgage in here? Raise your hand. You pay a mortgage. Put your hand up. You, somebody else is holding the paper on your house, and you pay a monthly mortgage. All right. How many of you pay your mortgage by the amortization chart? Nobody. Because nobody told us. And we want it to be free. We want somebody to pour it on us. We the cheap and the free people. Girl, you know what God gave me? Hello. It might have been the devil gave it to you, so you would never work up no faith to get nothing no other kind of way. The amortization chart is a chart. You go to the lender. You call them on the phone. You say, I want to know what is my amortization rate on my principal. You'll find if you're paying $1,000, the principal probably ain't $85. Mm-hmm. That means if you pay $85, all the other $920-some is going in somebody's pocket. Yeah, because your house note only went down $85.
That's right.
But they can only do that to you once a month. So if you're smart, you'll pay the $1,000 and you'll find out how much your principal is and you'll pay that with it. And now you done paid for 2 months and you kept your $900. If you're real smart and you live right and stay out the mall, you might be able to put two payments. So now you done broke your thing down from 30 years to 10. They're not going to tell you. They're going to tell you about how sharp your necklace is and how pretty your eyes are and what kind of car that you're driving. Oh, girl, I really like that. While they're telling you this stuff, they're going to talk about stuff that's not important to your finances. But we need to be aware that there are systems that let rich people stay rich and keep poor people poor.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Our job is to be the people that get respect, because we're not the dummies. Mm-hmm. the Gnostics of the world think that they have a charge and a responsibility in the earth to manipulate the world and to teach everybody to do mysticism and do magic, because they are the only people that are the thinkers. They call themselves Gnosis holders. They are the people with knowledge, and they consider Christians dummies that don't have none. Most of us have never even heard the word Gnostic. The word Gnostic is an evil word. It describes people in every walk of life. And 90% of the people that you see on TV, see in magazines, hear on the news, write the books, design the clothes, fix the hair, cook the food, that's so wonderful on your TV set, believe that they are God-like creatures and there is no evil, and anything they do to get what they want is fine. Our job is to be more informed. Your children need to know how to break a curse. You need to know how to break a curse.
Right.
Your children need to know how to not be afraid when they go to school. Plead the blood of Jesus. Dispatch angels. When the last time you dispatched an angel?
Right.
When the last time you sent an angel out to battle in your behalf, to war and to wrestle and to vanquish down and physically overwhelm the foe?
Yeah. Right.
Our job is to be smarter. We need to know how to tell our children how to plead the blood.
Yeah.
I told one of my little grandsons the other night, you're not getting no tattoo, right? He kind of turned his head to the side because I don't see him a lot. He's living in a world where, you know. I said, no tattoo, right? I said, did your granny make it clear to you I said no tattoo? I said, do you know I tie your stuff in a knot? Did you understand me? I said, no tattoo. No tattoo? Everybody getting them, granny. I said, and trust me, there's the eugenic population of the earth that thinks everybody in this room ain't worth breathing. You don't have a right to air. We don't want you breathing. We don't want you drinking no water. You inferior creatures. We don't even know what the word eugenics is. Look it up. Well, there's a superior race and then there's the inferior race. And we got to get rid of the inferior morons, dements, and races of people that do not live up to equality. Jacques Cousteau used to come on TV back in the 80s. Oh, he was the greatest. He was a man going submerged down in the water in a fancy vehicle, crawling on the bottom of the sea. And we just thought the great Jacques Cousteau said, it's 7.5 million people on earth and we only need 2. So that means we could exterminate 350,000 a day. Our thinking, we need to be aware, because when they find out that the God they serve, the chants they've done, the yoga positions they've been in, the amulets they've bought, the seances they've been to, the yoga cards they've read, the tarot cards, when they find out that the psychic on TV is listening to a demon that's telling her stuff to impress the simple minded. did you think the lady sat down in the coffee shop in England and wrote Harry Potter? Did you think she just sat there and it just came to her? Give me a break. A demon entity crawled up in her and used her to create a change for our culture. So we got the pastor down in Florida to call me and tell me his son, 15 years old, son, 11 years old, they become wizards. And he got his door closed and locked at night because he's scared of his kids. Now, when he took them to the theater, it seemed like just great. See, back in the day, I said something about Pokemon when she was little. I said something about Pokemon. Everybody, oh, mama, hello. Pokemon, what did it mean? Pokemon, pocket demon. Our thinking has been undermined by the social climate. So we want to be the one who has the most of everything. So we got the newest phone. The people laugh at us, laugh like dogs. They laugh because the phone you had three phones ago could do everything this phone got, but they had it locked out so you couldn't access it. But then they just unlocked each little component so that the phone could finally do what you wanted and you'd be willing to pay three times for another phone. The dummy says it's great. I hate that. Some of you still paying for Christmas last year. When we leave here, I have a hot chain outside on a fire that's over some flames. And so when we get ready to go outside, I'm going to beat you with the hot chain because you too dumb to be walking. You can't find one third of the Christmas presents people gave you last year. And if you go to the restaurant and eat on credit, and you finish eating and you paid 27% interest because you were late last month. They don't even tell you when you're late one time, your interest rate jumped from whatever it is way up at the top. Yep. So you were late last month. You didn't get there on the 15th. So on the 16th, they jumped your interest. And then you went to Chili's and you ate up something at the Chili's and they put the interest rate on there. Now you go to Chili's on Tuesday and your bowels move good on Friday. And you'll be still paying for the interest you got at Chili's in 2016. Mr. Alvina, this isn't fun. When are you going to say something fun? They told me you were funny. Where we at ain't funny, guys. It's not funny. We must invade. So everybody in here that's got any kind of skill, any kind of abilities, any kind of opportunities. If you work in any kind of an industry or in involved in any kind of a system, you know, I think about some of the things they tell your kids. Young people must be taught to believe in reincarnation and karma. Rather than the teachings of resurrection and judgment, teachings of the Bible. They have to believe this so that they can be exposed to sexual conduct so that everybody they see is having sex. Everybody having sex, I mean. And then you find the comedy people, they not just having sex with each other, they having sex with each other's animals. And we listening to it and we not saying a word. You can turn on TV today, right now. Right now, where the children are watching and on cartoon and children's network stations, right now, you can find a demon, a ghoul, a monster, a zombie, a werewolf, an alien, a Dracula, come on. Everything is on there for your child. And you so glad that the child look, just go look at TV, baby. Give me. And then you don't know how come when they get to church, they like this. You don't know how come you sitting at the dinner table and they on the phone texting. And you did not hear the phone ring. The atmosphere we live in is determined by the influences that come in and out of our lives. So you're supposed to make an atmosphere. You create your atmosphere. You decide what your atmosphere is going to be like. And it's whether your atmosphere is good or evil. So you can't be Friday night, walking, live the living dead all week. You can't hang no No suit outside in your front yard and no net that looks like a ghost and you got no pumpkin. You can't participate in their stuff. And when the people in your neighborhood do, you drive by and sling some oil in the name of Jesus. An atmosphere creates a climate. What is a climate? A climate is that the exposure of light and darkness and precipitation. And too many of the things that's raining down on us is not from God. There's a, down in Lima, Peru, I was down in Lima, they got a thing, the length of this building, maybe even long, maybe half the width of this building more. So maybe this is maybe at 90 feet or 100 feet across or something like that, maybe 150. This is more than that. Lifted up in the air about high as this ceiling right here on some big fancy stanchions is a man and a woman made out of concrete. And the one man is laying in between the woman's thighs. Naked butt cheeks of the man is exposed, made out of concrete. The woman's thighs go up 15 feet in the air. This is sitting on the curb on the, go on the internet. Miss Ralphina told that ridiculous lie. Ain't no such thing. Go on the internet. You'll see it. Sitting on the Pacific coast at Lima, Peru. And inside that city, it will not rain. 1/2 inch of precipitation a year. 1/2 inch. The people up in New York have dealt with 60 inches. They get 1 inch a year in Lima. You go 10 miles up the coast, rainforest, rain every day. Go 10 miles down the coast, rain every day. But in Lima, no rain. Why? Because the atmosphere that's been sent up by the behavior and the thinking and the attitudes and the things that people choose to do causes the climate over that city. Our job is to be more informed. You make the atmosphere at your house. You have to do it. Women, they say, oh, woman, you the thermometer. No, you the thermostat. Things ain't going right at your house. You turn on some music and walk and praise the Lord. Write some pieces of tape on and put it on the refrigerator, on the mirror, on the closet door. Put your husband's name up there. He not living for God. You love him, somebody in your house sick, somebody in trouble. You got somebody in jail, somebody strung out on drugs. You got somebody bad, hard to deal with. Write their name down and talk to God about them. Don't say a word to them and say, hey, baby, I love you. How are you? I've been through so many situations with my kids, but all I do is love them. Because God told me my children, because I am the righteous, they would not be begging bread. And begging bread don't mean hungry. It means without exposure to the truth of God. I don't know what's going on with me. I need a tissue or something. Yeah, baby. All right. Come in, sweetheart. Put your hand over this mic so it don't come through the mic. Got a little attention, so let's stop acting. Thank you, sweetheart. If the climate is not checked, if you don't make an adjustment in the climate, there'll be a stronghold that'll be built. Second Corinthians 10:3. Even though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. I thought a stronghold was a grip. My son on crack. You know, we got poverty, a spirit of poverty. I thought it was a hold, a grip. A stronghold is an impregnable barrier of protection the devil puts around a lie in your mind. So here I'm growing up thinking because I'm the tallest, I'm the ugliest. Because somebody said I was the ugliest. I'm the ugliest. A lot of you have been told something back in the day And it's never been overturned, and you've never freed yourself from it. And so you try to overcompensate for it. We got to start looking at ourselves like God made us, and he didn't make junk. And so whatever you are and whatever it is, trust me, it is the key that opens the door to somebody's heart that need what you got that looks like you. Yeah. Yeah. A stronghold. It's like a dome over a piece of cheese on a marble slab. Y'all seen that, huh? Well, the lie is the cheese. The stronghold is the dome. You can try to shoot at that cheese all day, but until you move that dome, you're not going to touch the cheese. So God said he would break down the strongholds for us. Isn't that what he said? If a stronghold is not challenged, then the culture changes. And we living in a culture that's off the chain. We're living in a culture where a man will go through a door first and leave you standing outside. We're living in a culture where profanity is just vivid. You come up in a gas station or come out of your house and somebody cross the street washing their car and you hear the cussing all the way over in your house. You live in a culture where our boys are wearing their total behind exposed. You're living in a culture where little 5, 6, 7-year-old girls end up wearing thong panties. We're living in a culture where nobody has the right to put on white for a wedding anymore. We're living in a culture where we're so caught up with what we got. Our style, purse and shoes and rings. That's important. We're living in a culture where nobody sits at a dinner table and eats and prays. Our job is to turn things around. And where did Jeremiah say, build a wall in front of your house? You can't fix them. But if everybody loves Jesus, does stuff right here where you are, there'll be people that will notice. Oh, my goodness, the trouble didn't come to them. Well, they built a wall. They protected themselves. Oh, the enemy didn't come in and take them out. Why? Oh, they built a wall. Well, how did they build it? Oh, they pray. People be glad to pray if you tell them what to pray. People be glad to cry and praise if you tell them what to pray. And they see that you are serious about it and it's real to you. Not some kind of thing that makes you better than them. Am I making sense, girls?
Yeah.
Our belief system is being altered every day. 10 years ago, same-sex marriage, 80% of the people was against it. Today, 80% of the people is for it. Our belief system been changed. People don't know. People have compassion. People are looking. People see terrible things. Do you realize that there's some things that's happened that's not what they seem like? Every hate crime ain't committed by somebody that hates. Some of the hate crimes are committed so you can see it and get some sympathy for the person that was hated and have an attitude toward the person that did the hating. And it was done on purpose. You know, when you see stuff, we are not informed. We got to become readers. We got to become prayers. We got to become fasters. It can't be where you just show up in here and just feel great and go home. We got to be people that shine everywhere we go. I met a man years ago. The man say, now I want y'all to hear this, because this is a knockout. It blew me away. He said, back in the 70s, I was in charge of the CIA organizational structure to develop the programs to monitor and control mind control, metaphysics, extremely low frequency radiation, and weather control. Mind control. So the little boy with the orange hair that went in the theater in Denver and shot up the people, for some period of time, he was sitting like this. Something had control of his mind. Hello? I'm asking the man. I say, well, no, sir, I don't really get it. I mean, what is extremely low frequency radiation? He said, now this was 3 years ago. It took me 3 years to eat on this just to get a, just to be able to think on it some. Well, I know it's right. Are y'all hearing me? He said, well, you might not understand it, but one of the things that you might get is 3G, 4G phones. They had just started a word about a 3G. Had nobody never heard of a 4G when he told me about it. And he was in charge of it back in 1974. I said, well, Lord, usually they show you something in a movie. The Lord said, well, they showed you about phones and what they could do. They showed you evil eye. Miss Ralphina. The clinker is this. You say, ooh, Miss Ralphina ought to be ashamed of herself. I can't believe she said this. 5 years ago, I saw a special on TV talking about the infrastructure on the Eastern Seaboard, how it was rotten, how most of the bridges and the structures that the people used to travel up and down the Eastern Seaboard was just rotten. The boardwalk was falling down. The Brooklyn Bridge was just about to collapse. The Queensboro Bridge was about to tear up. Just everything was just in terrible condition. All of the wood and all the metals that had been there for over a century, nobody had maintained them and they were falling down. And then all of a sudden we get a storm that tear it all up so the government can fix it. And you can fix it instead of the citizens of New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Maryland, and Virginia. We can't get caught up on who's the president because whoever is has agreed to be used for the agenda. There is an agenda. Trust me, there is an agenda, and whoever is the president has agreed to you be used. So what hope does the world have? You. What help has the world got? You. Number one thing. Develop an awareness of how God sent you here. You are not replaceable. You are irreplaceable original. So don't let nobody tell you, you got to get you no boobs and get you no haircut like so-and-so and color your eyes like such-and-such. Trust me, whatever color you got, if that's the one you want, it's all right with the Lord. As long as it don't run your life. Number two, get to a place where you have communication with God every day. Start to hear from the Lord. Oh, we want to hear your voice, but we don't want to do what you say. Hello. We'll hear you, but we ain't doing nothing different. You're going to have to do what God says.
That's right.
Number three, take care of your body, because your spirit is dead in the water if your body's dead. And when the people brought me back two times, I'm a witness. So the fat and the cookies and the chocolate that you just have to have. And, you know, my favorite thing is a double cheeseburger. My favorite thing is a double cheeseburger with bacon from Whataburger. That's a good burger, boy. I want the double meat with the cheese. Oh, the grilled bun and the onions. Oh, I ain't eating none of them no more. The devil ain't killing me behind no taste bud. They can drop some greasy, salty oil on your tongue and it tastes the same way. Our job is to become aware of the tricks of the enemy. Come on, girls. You didn't come through everything you've been through so that the enemy could just have you sitting somewhere on a Saturday morning thinking, well, hallelujah, I was at the ladies' meeting. No, you at the assignment. I'm ordaining everybody in here. Lift your right hand up. You ordained from this day forth. Say, I receive
the calling of the Most High God
to be a minister of reconciliation
in these last days.
Healing is in my hands.
Wisdom is in my mind.
My heart is set in agreement.
To obey God.
And to fulfill His plan for my life.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
You are here duly ordained. Your workplace is your territory. You write down the so-and-sos and the such-and-suches and the ones you want to blow their brains out. Write their name on a tablet and put little hearts and little beautiful things next to them. Because you claim calling them out of darkness. Do you realize that the witches and the warlocks, most of them are people just looking for God in the wrong place? There are people that are in the earth that came for the purpose of perpetuating the kingdom of darkness. But there are many people who are perpetuating the kingdom of darkness because they have seen no light in the kingdom of God. If they could see some Christians doing something, they would change sides. And their money wouldn't be going, the people that give their money tied to the, you know, I don't shop everywhere. I don't go to IKEA. I don't do, what's the name of the store? Pier One. But I passed them. I said, gee, da, da, ba, shada. The name of Jesus. Our information is too little. Man made the perfume. Calvin Klein said he tied to the Church of Satan. He said that years ago. We got obsession on our dresser. That was a scent that was designed by witches to draw us. He went to the witches to get the recipe for what it's supposed to smell like. So it would go up our nose and be appealing. Information. You know, John Osteen used to say it everything. Every time we had a service. It's not as important for me to give inspiration. It's important for me to give information. And information that I'm talking about wasn't available to him. But he knew we couldn't stay dumb. And he put a hunger in my heart. You go overseas and look at the different ways the people serve their gods. And they show more respect for their God than we do. They dead gods, they confusing gods, they evil gods, they darkness, they creature, monster gods. I mean, please, Kali, what is beautiful about her? She got arms coming out all the side of her head. Her teeth look like something coming. Eyes look like something. She looked like a creature in the face. And they just, oh, Hindus think it's great. The Buddhists think, Buddha's beautiful. And here's a big fat man who can't even get no clothes. He's sitting there in a diaper. An overeater. Listen, guys. You have access to the only true and living God. And we have not shown him to the world in a way that makes them willing to separate themselves from the dead stuff that they have put their hope and their trust in. You want more for me, you have to invite me back. Come on, guys. I want us to start to develop a confidence. Know who you are. You are a child of the Most High. You came through your trials and your tribulations so you could have some compassion on people that's got trouble. So you could care about people that's hurt. So you could develop a willingness to pray for somebody else's daughter when you see yours is going down the tubes and you can't help her because she won't listen. You can touch somebody else's son and put his name and pray over him because somebody stole yours. The Gnostics believe sex with a boy, very young, they're able to draw power from that boy's spirit and use it to progress themselves to another level in Gnosticism. So a lot of the churches have had little boys come to church, the Catholic Church. I mean, come on. Young men, and now you don't know where the thousands of people come, this homosexual, they've been molested, they've been abused, and they've been drawn by sympathy to the people that have been molested and abused. My son, my daughter ain't going, my daughter's not going to be no lesbian. Now that's just all there's to it. I'm not going to let that happen. Now I might have to fight her tooth and nail, but what I'm fighting is the devil that's trying to take her life. Our job is to develop an attitude that we are not going to take it. That we are the women of God.
Amen.
And we have been given territorial, atmospheric, climate, stronghold breaking, culture establishing. After this culture and establishing and the belief system has been broken down, what do you have? Behavior. So we got people in church with their black toenails. Did you think black toenails was cute because all the little girls on TV got it? 30 years ago, you couldn't find black fingernail polish nowhere. Unless you were a witch getting ready for a coven meeting. It would come up on the top of the thing in the bookstores and in the beauty parlors and the stuff. Then you find out who the real witches were. We got globes sitting in our front yard because it's just so beautiful. That's a gazing ball. It's a drawer of a spirit. Come on, y'all. There's too much we don't know and too much we are not pursuing to know. The world needs help. It needs healing, spirit, soul, and body. We got people that have got all kinds of conditions and diseases because of the sins they committed. Somebody sitting up here with herpes and they put them on TV and make them feel great. They find the finest woman and the cutest man. And they ain't had no outbreak. Hello? I don't want to sit in the chair you sat in, excuse me. But they'll tell our children it's no big deal. It is a big deal. It is a big deal. Our kids don't know. Let me give you all this last scripture so you'll understand how come I feel the way I do. Matthew. Chapter 17, I think. Let me turn real quick. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. Because the truth of the matter is our job is to raise our kids so that they're able to stand against the wiles of the enemy. Our children's children will face darkness face to face. So we can't wait and we can't be slow and we can't be intimidated. Matthew chapter 17, verse 27. Jesus talking to Simon Peter. When I first read this, I guess I must have been a kid. I didn't know nothing. I just thought, oh, another thing like the axe head floating. I didn't know. Then over the years, I started trying to think of a reason Peter was so aggressive. When I read this instantly, I understood that Peter was why he was so aggressive. It says, verse 27 says, nevertheless, Jesus is telling Peter what to do because the Sadducees and Pharisees have been complaining about him not paying taxes and him doing stuff and spending time with the sinners. Am I making sense? It says, nevertheless, lest we offend them, let's go to the sea. He's sending Peter to the sea. Cast in a hook and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened his mouth, you will find a piece of money and take that and give it to them for, and he doesn't say it here, but it's understood. Give it to them for taxes for me and you. How many people got me and you in their Bible? Look it down. Does yours say me and you or you and me?
Me and you.
Me and you. Ain't that what it says?
Yes.
I don't care how many translations you read. It's all going to say you and me and you, you and I. It's just two people he paying taxes for. Himself, Jesus, and Peter. So I'm thinking, now wait a minute. Now ain't this Jesus? How come he not paying taxes for all the other 11? Is he cheap? Didn't he say, let the bed, poor boy said, my daddy died. He said, let the bed bury the bed dead. Isn't that what he said? Let the dead bury the dead. Told the boy, don't even go to the funeral. Didn't he say that? Do you remember the thing that said the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus? What grown man gonna let his mama come and talk to us in his place? I've said things to my son. Well, you want me to call? Mama, no, you can't call. I'm a man. I can't have you calling. Am I making sense? The mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. The reason Jesus didn't have to pay taxes for the other disciples is because they were little boys. We done seen Michelangelo's picture, and we done seen all these different images of the Last Supper. But that's just somebody's image. The only people that don't pay taxes is children. And if you think about it, when Adolf Hitler decided to do the Third Reich, he went and got little boys. In Islam, a little boy got to learn the Quran. A little boy got to learn how to take an M16 rifle apart and put it back together, blindfolded. A little boy, 10, 12, 13 years old. Stalin said, little boys. Castro said, little boys. The Somalian warriors say, little boys. If they were smart enough to put little boys and make them the carriers of the war, don't you wonder how Paul and John and all these were so old after Jesus had been dead, all this stuff, and they still doing stuff? They were little boys. And that's the reason our sons, the only seed bearers for their generation, is the target. The devil can steal a boy. He got a generation. I want to tell little girls, you don't want to have a girl for a lover, but I got to be able to point a boy for her to have, and we can't find none. We are the only ones that know the truth, and the truth we know sets us free. Write down the confessions that you want to say every day. Say it loud and clear. The pastor here has got a little book. Pastor's wife gave it to me. I thought, we're going to believe this book going to get on Amazon. There's people who don't know Jesus need this book. Our abilities, our skills, our talents are all our calling to help the world in its downtrodden state. In a little over a month's time, there'll be an end to the Mayan, the Incan, the Egyptian, the Celtic calendar. They believe something is going to happen. I do too. I believe there'll be demon forces that we've never had to deal with before be released in the earth. And our job is to be the light that puts out their darkness.
Amen.
Everybody put your hand across your heart and just grab your heart, both hands, both hands. Oh God, fill me, Lord, fill me. Say, fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord.
To overflowing. With the end time anointing.
To have understanding.
Revelation.
Insight.
And courage. To be evidence
of your greatness,
your power,
your
might,
your wisdom,
your glory,
your love
in the earth.
No one
who crosses our path
will ever be
the same again.
In Jesus' name.
Say it like you mean it.
In Jesus.
Say it one more time.
In Jesus.
Woo! Yay, God! Hallelujah!
Thank you, Lord.
We got souls to save. We got people's lives. Folks will spend eternity in hell if we don't step up and be what God says we're supposed to be. Everybody in here who has a desire to do some form of ministry, raise your hand. Everybody in here that knows you have ability to teach, raise your hand. Everybody in here that knows that there is a gift in you that God must have a use for, but you don't know what it is yet, raise your hand. Everybody in here that knows somebody that needs God more than they have him right now, raise your hand. You know what that says? That's everybody in here has raised their hand for something. I remember years ago when I was going to Lakewood. Lord Jesus, I was raised in the south side of Chicago in a black Baptist church. And I learned one scripture. For God so loved the world. Oh no, they did teach me the 23rd Psalm, the Lord's Prayer, and Jesus wept. Now they did teach me that. And I did learn a little bit of the Beatitudes. I could, you know, but none of it meant nothing to me. Nobody made it real to me. Nobody explained to me that it was for me. It was just something I was hearing and saying. But I was at Lakewood Church and they had Jerry Savelle years ago. Jerry Savelle said, anybody in here ever been depressed? Raise your hand. Everybody put their hand up. If you've been depressed, raise your hand. Anybody in here ever felt discouraged? Raise your hand. Anybody in here ever felt like God must be mad with you? Raise your hand. Anybody in here, you know, and it just went on and on. About feeling rejected and about failing and not getting stuff right and taking too long and, you know, not being a good steward or not being a good steward of money and not forgiving and just hands going up like this. He said, now, everybody say this out loud. Devil, you lied.
You
said,
I was the only one.
That's how he does us. He wants us to feel like it's all on us. We deserve it. And this is as good as it's going to get. And I am here to tell you, if the 6 foot size 13 shoe wearing woman is still here after dying twice to get you turned on, upset, mad, or whatever I have done for you today, it's worth it to me so that God would see that he left me here for a purpose to make a difference.
Yes.
And your calling is no less important to him.
Amen.
Who you are and what you do for him is a necessity. He don't have no pinch hitter for you. So you can't look in the mirror and decide you're not qualified. You can't count your teeth or your dress size and figure out that you can't go. You can't be the one to figure out how many kids you had and how long you've been without a man and how many things you did to get your rent paid and all those kind of things that he will tell you, the enemy will tell you, disqualifies you. Everybody say, I am not disqualifiable. I'm not disqualifiable. Do y'all understand? I'm not disqualifiable. Say it. I'm not disqualifiable. You know, sometimes I go to places where the people speak other languages, and I have to break it down because the translator, eyeballs are rolling because they're trying to find a word to say what I said, you know. Are you guys glad I came?
Yes.
I'm glad to have been here with you. I'm here. I'm available to pray with you. And I really feel in my heart like that, that there are three things that God really is sensitive to, is those of you who have businesses. See, there must be a strong flow of finances into the kingdom because everything we try to do for God costs money. Now, what we have to be is people that become good stewards of money, not just takers and getters. So you want a good steward skill to handle money when it comes. You know, I think about the Bible says the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the just, but not the stupid just. We need to be able to deal with the things that God requires of us and to be a blessing. You want to draw people because you can be a blessing. You want to be able to help people. You know, folks, you know, I got a friend right now. She's going through a bad time and she needs a wheelchair with a lift. Because she can't go no place unless Metrolift comes. And some of you know her. But you know, my prayer every night is, Lord, I need to be able to call the people and say, call her on the phone and say, what color van you want? What the lift in it? That ought to be our ability. What's your favorite color, girl? You like orange? We get an orange van. Put your initials on. What? Because when you do that, you take away the lie the devil told that said God's people can't compete with the world's tactics. We need finances. Another thing we need the ability to be less sensitive. We cannot be offendable. Everybody say, I am not offendable. You can't hurt me no more. You can't insult me. You can't hurt my feelings. You can't. That's worked against us forever. We stuck someplace because somebody did something 30 years ago. We got to let it go. It's not worth holding on to. It's a burdensome weight that's holding us back. And the last thing we must be able to do is recognize the voice of God.
Amen.
Man, I mean, people tell you, oh, God told me. And then it turns into doo-dung. And we don't know how it got like that. If God did tell them, you're looking at Ralphina. I trust me. I've made every kind of stupid choice thinking it was God. And the Lord told me, I showed you the trouble and you did it anyway. Most of us, if we be honest, he gave you an indicator. If we figure out how not to get offended, we figure out how to handle things and be trustworthy, and we figure out how to hear his voice and have a heart to obey, there's nothing that we cannot do to build the kingdom of God so that the onlookers will know that the God we serve is alive and well, because he's alive and well in us.
Amen.
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 Father, we seal this service today. We thank you for all you do. We thank you for what you've given us. We thank you for inspiring us. We ask in Jesus' name that you just strengthen us and help us do what we call to do. And let us have courage to see ourselves as mighty women of God in Jesus' name. All right, now, I have a table out here that my granddaughter and Miss Penny are going to help us with. And Tammy, I guess you can work out there. I have a book out there called The Soul Raking F Word. The Lord told me that profanity rakes through your soul and opens you up for stuff. After you've been cussed, you know, the F word is so powerful and so profane that when after you hear it, your brain has a problem. The upper and lower parts of the brain kind of war against each other. You, after you turn on a movie and they cuss for 5 minutes, it's like your soul's been raked open and it seems like anything can go in. You can't even resist that. You sure can't pray after you listen. So I talk about the severity of the word, its original meaning, where it came from, how it was designed to be used, how it's used now, and how it has affected us, and what lineage and eggs and larva is laid around the world for us to inherit generations of stuff because of it. I had a stewardess, a flight attendant. She was being threatened on her job because she's cursing her co-flight attendants, and captains reported her. And so she said that she'd been told that she was reported again for using profanity on the flight. They were going to fire her. She'd been flying, she said, for 20 years. She said, I can't retire yet. She said, and I don't have no other skill. She said, and I didn't even realize I was cussing like that. She said, but one of my coworkers gave me your book. She said, and I read it. And she said, I've been dry. She's called it clean and sober. She said, I've been clean and sober 3 days now. I said, thank you, Jesus. I put all the movies in and how many times they say it. I tell you, all the comedians and all the directors and all the words, how many times it's said in a movie. So you'll understand what to see and what not to see. All of those things are tactics of the enemy to scrape away your conscience, to scrape away the things about you to feel clean and good. I have a book. I don't have a confessions out there. And just to be honest, this has been a very difficult year for me. I've had to fight a lot physically. So I haven't had resources to have my book printed. But I have a prayer and confession book that's similar to this one, but it's a little different. And then I have book number 2, which is coming out, which is really powerful because it's a curse breaker. It's a territory taker. It's a re-establishing dominion. It's a lot of things that the only thing that we can do is say something. The Bible says we can say it. So anyway, there's a soul repair kit that's made up of three complete components. It's the card that explains how your soul is built. It's CDs in a CD case and a little confession book. And that's a little expensive. It's $35. But the point of the deal is that the teachings out there, or the Scent of Water, which is probably one of the best teachings I've ever done to encourage your heart. Touch my coffin. Jesus said over in the book of Luke, it said he touched a dead man's coffin. And I wanted to know how come he didn't touch a dead man. But the Lord said he had touched a condition that's holding you back. Too many of us look dead and ain't nothing wrong with us. Some of us are playing dead because we're scared. Come on. Then I have the spirit of the bastard, which is probably the best teaching I've ever received, because it is a teaching that exposes how generational curses are started and explains how they are broken. And then I have 7 levels of spiritual warfare. And I talk about the heavenly level, the ground level, which is the flesh, and then the occult level, which is the sorcery and the divination we're fearful of and intimidated by. And then I talk about the levels of praise and the levels of worship and the levels of giving and the levels of dominion and territories, and just gives you some insight. I bring the stuff because I need the money, you need the food. And I think it's excellent teaching material. Father, we seal this service. We seal it. We thank you that we'll never be the same. We thank you that we've heard and we receive. And now, Father, give us a hunger so that we can pursue more knowledge and more information. We thank you, God, that you're in this place and that we have been here for you to use our lives to take us to another place. In Jesus' name.